I remember looking at my patch of grass and feeling a strange mix of guilt and potential. It was just a standard backyard. It had a swing set and some patchy clover. But as I watched the news and saw the grocery prices climbing, that green space started to look like a missed opportunity. I wondered if I could actually pull real sustenance from the ground beneath my feet. Most people think you need 100 acres and a tractor to be self-reliant. They think it is a pipe dream for anyone living in a suburb. I decided to find out for myself. I wanted to know if a regular person with a regular shovel could create a safety net made of soil and seeds. This is not about growing a few pretty tomatoes for a summer salad. This is about the cold, hard math of calories and the incredible capability of a small piece of earth. Calculating the potential, I started this journey by pacing out my fences. I needed to know exactly what I was working with before I bought a single seed. When you look at a backyard, you see a lawn, but when you look at a homestead, you see a calorie factory. The first thing I had to learn was the difference between volume and value. You can grow a massive amount of lettuce in a small space. It looks beautiful and fills up a basket. However, lettuce will not keep you alive in a crisis. If I wanted true self-reliance, I had to focus on the heavy hitters. I am talking about potatoes and squash and beans. These are the crops that provide the energy my family needs to function. The scope of a backyard garden is often underestimated because we think in two dimensions. I realized quickly that I had to think about the air above the soil too. Every fence line is a trellis. Every porch railing is a support system for climbing peas or heavy vines. If you have a quarter of an acre, you actually have much more than that. If you use the vertical space, I spent hours with a notebook mapping out the sun. I watched how the shadows of the house moved across the grass. You cannot guess with the sun. If you put your high-calorie crops in the shade, they will fail. This is the foundation of the field guide approach. You must know your limits before you can push them. Safety is the next part of the math. Before I broke ground, I had to call the utility companies. It is not exciting, but hitting a gas line will end your homesteading dreams very fast. I also had to look at the history of my dirt. If you live in an older suburb, there might be lead in the soil from old paint or chemicals from previous owners. I sent samples to the local extension office. Knowing the soil is clean is the first step in being capable. You cannot be self-reliant if you are poisoning your family. I also checked the local codes. Some towns have very specific rules about where you can dig and how high your garden structures can be. It is better to know the rules now than to get a fine later. Why does this math matter? It matters because hope is not a strategy. If you just plant things randomly, you will end up with a lot of work and very little food. When you understand the calorie density of your crops, you gain a sense of security. You realize that a small space can actually produce hundreds of pounds of food if you choose the right plants. This realization changed how I viewed my home. It was no longer just a place where I slept and mowed the grass. It became a resource. It became a way for me to take care of my own needs without relying on a fragile supply chain. I looked at my sketches and realized that even a modest backyard could produce enough to offset a huge portion of our grocery bill. The math was in my favor. I just had to be smart about the layout. I focused on the why of every plant. If a plant did not offer a high nutritional return or a high yield per square foot, it did not make the cut. I was building a field guide for survival, not a hobby garden. The capability I felt in that moment was better than any store-bought meal. I was ready to stop measuring and start building. I had the numbers on paper, and now I needed to put the weight of my ambition into the earth itself, building the foundation. Once the plan was set, I had to create the physical structures that would hold my harvest. A backyard is not naturally ready for high-intensity farming. The soil is usually compacted from years of walking and mowing. I chose to use raised beds because they give me total control over the environment. When you build up, you are not fighting the poor quality of the existing dirt. I gathered my materials. I used untreated cedar because it lasts a long time and does not leach chemicals into the food. You need a good drill and a level and a lot of patience. The safety factor here is all about ergonomics and stability. I made my beds no wider than 4 feet. This is the golden rule of the field guide. If a bed is too wide, you have to step into it to reach the middle. Stepping in the bed compacts the soil and kills the tiny organisms that make the plants grow. By keeping them narrow, I can reach everything from the paths. I also made sure the paths were wide enough for a wheelbarrow. If you make your garden too tight, you will hate working in it. Capability comes from having a workspace that actually works for you. I focused heavily on the soil amendment cycle. You cannot just dump some dirt in a box and expect a miracle. I used a mix of compost and peat moss and coarse vermiculite. This creates a light and fluffy home for roots. The why behind this is simple. In a small backyard, you are asking the soil to do 10 times the work of a normal farm. You are planting things very close together. This means the soil needs to be incredibly rich in nutrients. I set up a composting system immediately. Every kitchen scrap and every handful of pulled weeds goes back into the cycle. This is how you create a closed loop. Water management was the next big project. I installed rain barrels at every downspout. Depending on the rain is a gamble I was not willing to take. I also laid down soaker hoses in the beds. This ensures the water goes to the roots and not the leaves. It prevents disease and saves a massive amount of time. I also made sure to check my local water codes. Some areas have restrictions on how you can collect rainwater. Being a responsible homesteader means staying within the legal guardrails while maximizing your resources. The reason this infrastructure matters is because it removes the friction of gardening. When your tools are organized and your beds are easy to reach, you will actually do the work. If it is a struggle to get the hose to the back corner, you will neglect those plants. A successful backyard farm is a well-oiled machine. It is a series of systems that support each other. When I stood back and looked at the finished beds, I felt a deep sense of pride. I had built the bones of my food system. The tools I used were basic. A sturdy shovel and a rake and a good pair of gloves are all you really need to start. You do not need expensive gadgets. You need quality materials that will stand up to the weather. I checked every joint and every screw. I wanted this to last for a decade. This is the difference between a temporary project and a permanent change in lifestyle. I was no longer just a consumer. I was an architect of my own sustenance. The beds were full, and the water was ready, and all that was left was the rhythm of the seasons. The cycle of success. The final piece of the puzzle is how you manage the flow of food. Many beginners make the mistake of planting everything at once. They have 50 zucchinis in July and nothing in September. To truly produce enough food to matter, you have to master succession, planting. The moment one crop comes out, the next one must go in. I learned to keep a nursery tray of seedlings ready at all times. When the spring peas were done, I pulled them and immediately put in summer beans. This constant turnover is how a small backyard competes with a large farm. The calorie tracking became a bit of an obsession for me. I started weighing everything that came out of the garden. When you see 20 pounds of potatoes sitting on your counter, you realize that is several days of energy for your family. I had to learn how to bridge the gaps. This is where the why factor of variety comes in. I grew different types of the same crop. Some were early producers and some were late. This ensures that a single bad week of weather does not wipe out my entire food supply. Safety in the harvest phase is about storage and processing. If you are growing a lot of food, you have to know how to keep it safe. I learned about proper curing for onions and garlic. I made sure my storage areas were cool and dry and free of pests. You have to check your harvest daily for any signs of rot. One bad apple really does spoil the whole bunch. I also had to be mindful of my own physical limits. High-intensity gardening is hard work. I made sure to take breaks and stay hydrated. Self-reliance is not about working yourself into the ground. It is about working smart so you can keep going year after year. The real stake in this chapter is the mental shift. Can you keep up with the garden when it is 90 degrees outside and the bugs are biting? The answer comes down to your commitment to capability. I found that the more I harvested, the more I wanted to grow. The feeling of eating a meal that came entirely from my backyard is indescribable. It changes the way you taste food. It changes the way you look at the grocery store. You start to see the store as a supplement rather than a lifeline. I performed a repetition audit of my methods. I looked at which crops gave me the most trouble and which ones were the most reliable. I realized that my backyard was a living laboratory. I adjusted my steps for the next season based on what I learned. I kept my checks and fixes simple. If a plant was struggling, I checked the water and the soil and then moved on. I did not waste time on lost causes. I focused my energy on the winners. Maintaining this level of output requires care, not just for the plants, but for the soil. After the final harvest, I tucked my beds in with a thick layer of mulch and compost. I treated the earth like a partner that needed rest. This care ensures that next year the backyard will be even more productive. I am no longer wondering if my yard is enough. I know it is. I have the weight of the harvest to prove it. I have built a bridge between my lawn and my table. I looked at my pantry shelves and saw the results of my labor, and I knew I would never go back to just having a lawn.